Welcome back to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host today, Carl Sweeney, and thank you for joining us for this, which is our second patron roundtable. It's our post-season 11 roundtable. And I'm joined on the X-Cast by three people you will have heard talking to Sarah a short time ago. So let me introduce everybody. So first of all, let me say hi to Kurt North. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Carl. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Really good to talk to you. I know we've chatted a bit online, so it's good to speak to you finally.
Yeah, it's good to speak to you too.
Yeah, so we're representing Great Britain, obviously, tonight. But let's go across the Atlantic and say hello, first of all, to Michelle Milbauer. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Carl. It's nice to finally talk to you, and great to talk to Kurt and Jen as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you preempted me there. So let's introduce...
Sorry.
Last, but by no means least, Jen Ferguson's here too. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Carl. Nice to speak to you and to Michelle and Kurt.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a really fun one, I think. Especially once we get beyond My Struggle 4, I think. But we're going to... My Struggle 4, I think, is kind of unfinished business here. Because we did our coverage, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. We did the mailbag, but I had so much feedback come in on Twitter and Facebook for My Struggle 4 that I want to get a bit more of it squeezed in tonight. So we'll start with My Struggle 4 because it's still relatively fresh in people's minds. But then as we go on, we'll kind of broaden out. We'll talk about the season as a whole, favourite moments and that kind of thing. So I'm gonna come to you guys in a sec, but let me just read out a message that we had from MKB. So this is some leftover... mailbag comments that we had. MKB said about My Struggle 4, you could have cut out all of William running, Mulder driving, and spent it on Skinner, Reyes, and Mulder and Scully with William. So rushed and so much unnecessary fluff. The last 10 minutes should have been the entire episode. So happy for Scully and Mulder's baby girl, but felt William was tossed aside. William turned out to be so unlikable, which was disappointing. Mulder's reaction to William, and especially not being his father, was heartbreaking. Duchovny knocked it out of the park. All right, so I want to start with Kurt, because, I mean, I was... I didn't see the episode when it originally aired for about a day or so after it had been broadcast in the US. And then when I went online, probably the first set of tweets I saw was from you, and you had an interesting, immediate take on the episode, didn't you? So Take it wherever you want to take it, Kurt. What do you think about My Struggle 4?
I think it's always a strange thing when you get your initial reaction, because obviously you're there in the moment. So I've had a few weeks to think about it and things and sort of put it into context. My overall feeling for the episode is I think you need to look at it as a companion piece. I think looking at likes of this and Ghoulie and the other struggles, really does give you a bit more emphasis on the episode itself. Scully doesn't get a lot to do in My Struggle 4, but we do get the morgue scene in Ghoulie. So, you know, and then there's the shared visions and stuff that she's getting with William. But when it comes to Mulder, he doesn't really have that connection, and for obvious reasons, as we find out in the episode. But I can see why Carter went down that route of making it more of a father and son thing. My real... issues that I had was the dropping of the William story altogether. I've never been a big William fan, but to go from season 8, 9, 10, and especially 10 with the absent center, and then moving into 11 with actually introducing him, just to drop him at the end was a real big decision that they've made, and I don't think it was the right one. I think it's kind of just thrown William under the bus a little bit. So that was kind of one of my major issues with it. Secondly, I think it was the killing off of the story and the mythological side of stuff. So things like Mr. Y and Erica, and just having them disappear extremely quickly. The Mr. Y one, I don't have much of an issue with, because I think it was quite well done. It was quite, you know, you're expecting that conversation piece with Mulder and Mr. Y, but you don't get that. And I quite liked the turn of events there. But then Erica was just popped up off just as quickly. So it was stuff like that, really. It just didn't get time to broaden the story out. But I do think watching it again, opening up the wider story, and especially watching Ghoulie and My Struggle 4 back-to-back, it does help the episode a bit.
Yeah, well, I agree on that, actually, because I know a lot of people have been rewatching all the struggles. But I do think ignoring a couple of those and just sticking with Ghoulie in the last one is probably... the best you can do there. Before I come to you, Michelle, let me just read out what Matt Conrad sent in. He said, Best of the Struggles. Was hoping that the cigarette-smoking man being William's creator would turn out to be a lie, but it is what it is. Was also hoping for Reyes to be redeemed, but that didn't happen either, unfortunately. She just got a bullet. But overall, it was better than I thought it was going to be, given the other struggles. Lots of action. Mulder becoming John Wick, and William just straight-up exploding fools was pretty great to watch. William also seems pretty accomplished at parkour. It had its fair share of problems, had a ton of stuff to resolve and cram into 42-ish minutes, but it managed to tug at the heartstring in parts, and at the end I was still like, holy shit, so mission accomplished. I mean, Kurt wasn't as angry as I thought he might be there, to be honest.
I've chilled out, and it's late evening, so I'm not too bad at the moment.
But Michelle, what about you? Have you chilled out since you saw my struggle for? Because I don't think you liked it very much, did you?
Oh, that's an understatement. I didn't like it at all. And I went back, and I guess I didn't watch Ghoulie back-to-back with My Struggle 4. I watched 3 and 4, and I thought, well, maybe I can get away with skipping past the stuff that sucks. But then I thought, I don't think it counts as a rewatch if all you watch is the theme song and the closing credits. So I powered through. Yeah. And I still deeply dislike My Struggle 4. I just found so much time spent watching Mulder drive the Mustang really fast and then making a U-turn in the middle of the street to drive really fast the other way. And then William running on rooftops and Mulder running down hallways and William running down hallways. And there was so much more story that could have been expanded on that just to me seemed wasted on another chase scene. If William can pop bad guys like grapes, which was by far yeah. the coolest thing that happened in the episode, why did he waste his time running on rooftops and why did they have to show so much of that? We could have seen the scene with Skinner and Scully and that reaction. We could have seen more of Reyes and CSM and what that dynamic is. Why bring Reyes in the first place? That could have been anybody that was his driver that lit his cigarette for him. I just didn't see the point of that. I don't know if I have as much rage as I did initially after seeing it, because I most definitely had rage. But no, I can't see myself rewatching these voluntarily again. I'll just happily ignore their existence and watch happier things. But that's just a tip of things that I was just underwhelmed, to put it nicely, about. They could have expanded on so much more, and it just seemed editing choices were made to have it be, I don't know, suspenseful or exciting, but I would have rather seen more story points.
And you mentioned like Scully's reaction, didn't you, to Skinner, to whatever Skinner said to her. And Alison King mentions that too, where she said, "I enjoyed it for the most part, but it felt very rushed at the end. I would have liked to explore Scully's reaction to Skinner's revelation, her feelings of being pregnant, and the implications, and of course, her and Mulder's emotional distress regarding William." And yeah, I definitely think it's true. It really jumps out at you as well, doesn't it? Because it's like 2 seconds later, Scully spots Mulder's car, and then it's just like onto the next thing, you know, and it's a really curious way to like do that scene.
Yeah, the other thing that struck me as odd as well is Scully is in the warehouse or in the building on the dock, and she's talking to what we come to know is, and she comes to realize is William, but she thinks she's talking to Mulder. And he's trying to convince her, oh, just let him go, he doesn't want to be found, and she's arguing with him. Then the actual Mulder's down at the other end of the long hallway that we get to watch him run through. She realizes, oh, crap, that's my son. Distraught, chase him, no comeback, whatever. And then the next time we see Scully, it's a complete reversal of, well, he wasn't our kid. I don't know, you know, he was just an experiment. I was never a mother to him. How did this happen that quickly? A little bit less hallway running and rooftop running, and a little bit more maybe on how that realization came to be. It just seemed so abrupt.
Yeah, no, I felt it definitely was abrupt. I don't think it was helped that final scene takes place like immediately after, you know, everything's come to a head. You know, I thought sort of felt it needed to have a bit of time needed to have passed or something. But I want to come back to the issue of, like, Scully before we move off Maestrical Four, perhaps. But Jen, what did you make of this episode?
Well, I have a hard time answering the question about how I feel about the finale, because I 100% agree with the criticisms, and they bother me too, especially the final scene, I think, is kind of a disaster. And there are so many things that could have been done to save that weird 180 that Scully seems to take on William. And I think Michelle makes a great point that, you know, she just had that conversation apparently seconds ago, saying, you know, we can protect him. If why not just put something in that conversation where she start at least some sign maybe that she was starting to realize the wheels were starting to turn. Wait a second, I'm getting a message from William here or something like that. I keep thinking of all the ways that the end could have been saved. So I have a lot of problems with how it ended. I think it makes no sense to me from a character perspective for the most part. I've had to kind of rewrite it in my own head to kind of live with it. And I really hate the fact that Scully is missing for so much of the episode. She does have a much more of a central role in Ghoulie, that is true. And Mulder has more of a backseat in Ghoulie. But Mulder has a much more prominent role in Ghoulie than Scully has here. And they do go together pretty well. But I mean, this is the series / season finale. And to sort of sideline Scully is a problem. But having said all that, I still don't hate the episode for some reason that I have a hard time articulating. I think it's just, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, I thought it was well shot. It looked great. My expectations were super low. I thought it was going to be a complete disaster from start to finish. I liked the fact that it was a bit more focused than, say, like My Struggle 2 was, in the sense that it was, you know, really just about the William story. It was a bit smaller scale. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson probably gave their best performances of the season, even though Gillian Anderson had not a lot to work with, and she did better than the material she was given, but that's what she often does. I thought there was a great sort of subplot through the episode where I kind of got the idea that Scully already knows that she's pregnant, and she's just, like, desperately worried about Mulder's safety because she's thinking back to the last time she was pregnant in Requiem and what happened there. I like that kind of little subplot. Yeah. But, you know, I can't really hate it. I guess my standards are super low for for anything with struggle in the name. And it's like, it was a good looking episode. It had good acting and good music. So that was enough for me. And I agree with Michelle. I'll probably not watch it again, to be honest. But it was, you know, I don't have strong, real strong feelings about it, even though I totally agree with all of the criticisms.
Yeah, I mean, I feel kind of similarly in that I can appreciate a lot of the criticisms, and I think, you know, a lot of them are valid, but I'm kind of close to you, Jen, I think, that I still like, you know, quite a bit of this episode. But before we move on to the season as a whole, I do think we should touch on the ending with the reveal of the pregnancy and so on. So we'll just do that quickly before we carry on. So last mailbag message was from Maura Funchian Jaeger, and she touched on this, and she said, the immediate acceptance by Scully of William's true parentage was bizarre and wholly unbelievable. The contrast between her reaction and Mulder's sudden, intense despair and feelings of worthlessness was jarring. It was a complete role reversal within a matter of moments, and Scully chooses that moment to reveal her pregnancy, to say nothing of the ridiculousness and staleness of the storyline. Between that and a dizzyingly high body count, I felt as if I was watching some bizarre soap opera action movie mashup. So yeah, I mean, I think the pregnancy thing, I mean, I didn't really like this plot twist, to be honest, and I think that it would be easier to fully accept this episode if it didn't exist, but I'm curious to know what everyone else thinks about it. So yeah, Jen, what did you think of, like, the introduction of this pregnancy storyline at the end? Did it kind of ring true to you?
I mean, it rang true to me in the sense that this is kind of, it strikes me that this is all Chris Carter can think to do with Scully at this point, is make her pregnant. And I think there'd been enough foreshadowing through the season that a lot of us had kind of guessed that it was going in this direction. But I did not like it at all. It does seem like a very sudden thing to bring up after, well, the way that whole scene is structured, it feels a little bit like, well, William's gone, but here's a new baby. And, replacing a pet or something. And so I hated that. And, yeah, the Mulder does seem terribly distraught. He brings out this whole, what am I if I'm not a father thing, which I thought seemed very dramatic. although, kudos to Duchovny. He sells it really well. I kind of didn't like the fact that he's got this whole, what am I if I'm not a father? And the way that they resolve that is not by saying, well, hey, you're a lot more than a father. The way they resolve that is by saying, you are still a father. Aha. I just hate the fact that it seems like, in the end, Mulder and Scully are defined only by whether or not they are parents. And I think as characters, they deserve a lot more than that.
It seemed to me like it was teed up for an ending where it's like, well, at least Mulder and Scully have still got each other. So it seems really bizarre when that's introduced to me. I mean, Michelle, I'd be amazed if you liked this aspect of the finale based on what you said earlier. But what did you think?
Sorry, no amazement needed. I didn't like that. I didn't like the Williams storyline to begin with back when it was introduced. And they wrote themselves into a corner in that storyline. And so now you've resolved that storyline by doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
And I agree, Jen. It was kind of like, well, we just lost what we thought was our 17-year-old son, but it's all good. We made a new one. It just didn't feel natural. It didn't feel right. And also to your point, Jen, about them being defined by whether or not they're parents, it seems that that's completely what Scully has been shrunken down to. The whole thing was, she was barely in the episode. The time jump that happened in the episode just seemed unnecessary to me, but that's neither here nor there, I suppose. But then Skinner was so woefully underused. He was her chauffeur. Why? Why did he need to be your driver? I guess he had to get to Norfolk somehow to be run over. It just, what's the point? I just didn't get it. I'm not going to rage again, I promise, but just so much about how Scully was underused in the episode, how Reyes was underused in the last two seasons. That could have been any character play that role. And Skinner was underused. Even in the Skinner episode, he was barely in it. So there was just so much misuse of characters. But to then define one of the main characters by the contents of her womb just seemed almost insulting, really. I would have been happier if it had been, well, okay, this is how this turned out, but they still have each other. And I mean, not phrased in such maybe a schmoopy way, but that would have been much, much better than, oh, well, we made a new one. Ugh.
No, I think it's totally fair. I think that as Scully's farewell, it's not a very satisfying episode, like, at all, is it? So no. It's a shame because I really enjoyed, like, the Mulder-William stuff personally. Well, finally, on my struggle four, then, for now at least. I mean, it might come up again in when we get to favourite episodes, or perhaps not.
I think we can definitely say it probably won't.
Yeah, probably not. What did you make of the pregnancy, Kurt? Did you enjoy that bit of melodrama or what?
No, just no. No, I mean, my issue, this is the bit that I was most angry at when it came on, was, like it's been said before, William wasn't my favourite storyline of all time from season 8 onwards. So we've gone through the entire season 8, which I myself, I've mentioned this before, I really like season 8. Season 9, we've gone through the whole My Baby saga, and then we've got the absent centre of him in season 10. And just to have that William thrown away just for a new baby to be, he came, just made me viciously angry, because it was just like, you're not dealing with the problem. So that really sort of ground my gears on it, especially because they've gone down this route before, it didn't work, and if there was to be a continuation of the show, they're going to have to do something like a time jump or something like that, if that was to happen, which is highly doubtful. But revealing that pregnancy, like they've said before, at that time, straight away after, you know, as soon as William's gone, you know, let's put this in here. And it seemed to be totally designed to give you the end of existence again.
Yeah.
You know, just with the fact that, you know, that was the only reason why it was put there for, is to have a nice closure of that story, let them go and go away and have a happy ending. But it just felt wrong. The whole thing just felt wrong. It just didn't land the way I think they intended it to do.
No, I don't think it did either. And like I say, I quite enjoyed the way they set William up as this kind of monstrous figure in Ghoulie and Maestrical 4. But having that come afterwards didn't sit well. But let's draw a line under Maestrical 4 for now then. So the season as a whole is a bit of a different matter, isn't it? And I mean, what I thought was so good about it, because I really did like this 11th season. It felt like a proper X-Files season to me, because I think that even though it was much shorter than they used to produce back in the day, I think that having 10 episodes to play with meant they could really like offer us like an exciting like wide range of stories, which they couldn't really do in season 10. So I can't really imagine someone who likes the series, you know, I can't imagine a fan of the series not finding something, not finding a couple of episodes at least in season 11 that kind of really hits the mark for them. So, some thoughts on the season as a whole. And Michelle, do you want to kick this one off?
Sure. I really enjoyed season 11 as a whole. There was a lot of fun stuff in there. A lot of stuff that I found myself saying as I was watching it live, this is old school X-Files.
Yeah.
And it was just fun and quirky characters to come in on, you know, different standalone monster of the week, whatever, however you want to refer to those as, it was really fun. I had an enjoyable, you know, 10 weeks with it, really. I mean, the beginning and the end of the season notwithstanding, you know, everything in the middle really, you know, not that every episode was perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they were fun. And there was stuff that you were left thinking about and pondering over and looking forward to a rewatch of, rather than looking forward to avoiding a rewatch of. I had a good time. It was much, much stronger than season 10. And I must say, there's even stuff in season 10 that I enjoyed.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to come on to like favorite episodes and stuff in a bit. But yeah, Jen, how about you? I'm guessing you had a similar-ish reaction to us, but maybe not. I mean, how did you see it?
Yeah, definitely a similar reaction. If we ignore the sort of the start and the end, which, I mean, I think you can quite easily do because they are almost like a separate entity. It's a really strong season. The episodes were interesting, and I think that Michelle's word of fun is exactly right. They were a lot of fun. There was none that I disliked, really. I just sort of just in the last couple of weeks we rewatched the season, and there was, you know, none that I was dreading. So, and each, it seems like each episode I enjoy a little more each time I watch it. So that's got to be a sign of a good season. I like the fact that there were some, you know, themes that they tried to sort of carry through in terms of things like sort of reality being manipulated, and even, you know, the fact that we weren't ignoring Mulder and Scully's age, that kind of came into a couple of stories, which I enjoyed because, you know, I'm roughly their age, so I like that, those kind of stories. And yeah. And there was, you know, even like a nice sort of relationship arc as a shipper. I enjoy that sort of thing. So there was a nice arc with sort of Mulder and Scully kind of coming back together and their relationship moving forward through the season. So I liked that. The only sort of quibble I really had through the season was I wasn't crazy about the way that Gillian Anderson chose to portray Scully. I know some people have kind of critiqued it as though her acting was not great, but I don't think it was any issue with her acting. I just think she was choosing to portray Scully as very sort of worn down, almost very emotionally contained. We have this kind of raspy voice thing that she's had going on since season 10, which I've always found quite distracting. So I'm just not crazy about that choice in terms of how she chose to portray Scully. But that's just, you know, a subjective thing. I think it was deliberate. I think that was the way, and it makes sense within the context of the story. It just, to me, it wasn't terrifically interesting to watch, even though Scully is like my favorite character. And this wasn't my favorite Scully season in that sense. Whereas I thought David Duchovny knocked it out of the park. He did great in every episode. So that's sort of my little quibble, but overall, really enjoyed the season.
Yeah, because I thought Anderson's voice at first, I thought, oh, maybe that's just what she sounds like now. But then when you see her interviewed kind of out of character, she doesn't sound like that, does she? So it's kind of strange in that sense, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. I had to go and look at a couple of interviews to say, is there something wrong with her voice? And then I'd hear her talking in these interviews, and I'm like, well, that sounds fine. Why isn't she talking like that? And it was just a bit too much for me.
All right. So, I mean, definitely what I enjoyed about the season was it felt a bit more crafted to me. You know, in season 10, it felt like all the writers and directors, they went and worked on their own scripts and then they did their own thing and then they just kind of aired them one after another. But this one felt a bit more cohesive, generally speaking, I thought. But Kurt, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, just echoing what they said about Maud being brilliant, I think it's been had a brilliant season, David Duchovny, for this one. And with you saying it being crafted, there was little development plots or little character traits which were really small details, but actually worked well within the character. Like, for example, the through line of him feeling guilty and look and being reflective on that, and look, you know, because Mordor will be in a point of his life where it's perfectly reasonable to see what could have happened. So you've got like the episode of Nothing Lasts Forever, where he's looking back. But you've also got in My Struggle 3 when he's by Scully's bedside that, you know, he's going through the emotional sides of things of, what have I done? How can I, you know, how could life have been different? So I really enjoyed that aspect. But even little character traits like Mordor using the dark web, you know, because that's something that you can imagine him doing, because the dark web's all about being anonymous online and, you know, looking through sites and things that, you can't be traced back on. So those little tidbits of information that they were putting through, like I think he mentioned the dark web in Ghoulie, and he's doing a bit of freaking in this, and you know, it's all that stuff has been quite nice to fall into. And I definitely agree with the themes, false realities. I think that has been one of my favorite parts of the show. You know, looking for the this man, and you know, and you've got like the Lost Art of Forehead Sweat and MK Naomi and things that are dealing with perception and things like that. And I think it has been over the course of that season, it has been cohesive, and it's been as if it's been mapped out as such, because and it's quite bizarre as well that the new writers have been coming and their stuff has been more X-Filey than the people trying the likes of this and Plus One and stuff. It's been quite interesting, the switch around there. So I've really, really enjoyed season 11. So it's been all good, being good.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the appearances of like this man there, and like ultimately didn't really add up to anything. It was just to kind of keep us, like, to kind of string us along, it seems, kind of an Easter egg. But it's one of the things you get if you watch a series week to week, isn't it? You don't really get that with like a Netflix series or whatever, where you kind of binge them immediately. So I don't know if anyone wants to come back on this, but like, it's so rare these days that I watch something like week to week as it airs anymore. So it was really refreshing in that sense, I thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I've loved being even the social media aspects of it, you know, talking directly after it and things like that has been really good. So whereas Netflix, you know, you're trying to find people who've seen stuff, or you're asking what episode have you seen, or, you know, and you can't get that cohesive response, where at least with week to week, you get an instant reaction. Sometimes, sometimes it's for the worse when you get really angry. But but generally, you know, you can have a communal discussion about it, and then you instantly want to rewatch it because people have picked things up that you haven't. And I think you can delve deeper into the episode that way, because you've got a full week to rewatch stuff and before the next one comes. So I think it's a really good way of doing it.
Yeah, and I kind of like the fact that, you know, every Wednesday was X-Files night. It started to feel a bit like it was a holiday every week. Like, it's X-Files day today, and that was fun. And it was fun that we were all sharing that experience. So that was cool.
Yeah, I feel a bit bereft now it's finished, I have to say. Does anyone else have anything they want to chip in on, like, the season as a whole before we go on to, like, focusing on specific episodes?
I'm just going to throw in one thing for the shippers.
Okay.
It was a very shippy season on the whole. There was a lot about Mulder and Scully's relationship. They're going on dates. It's very sweet. But every shipper out there is really annoyed that we did not get a kiss this season. And I cannot help but agree. There was just like, we just did not get that payoff that we got in like season 8, season 9. I want to believe they all had that kiss at some point at the end of the season. And it felt like we were left hanging this time. And so, like, why? We could have squeezed one in there in that my struggle for, you know, as like Mulder's leaving to go look for their son. How about just a quick little kiss? Nope, nothing, yeah. Not even a hug. So
we could have had one less foot yes. chase.
And honestly, maybe, and, just something, somewhere.
Or
no,
episode, no pregnancy announcement.
Put it somewhere.
Right, but I mean, we did get non-platonic activity confirmed.
We did, but I mean, but still not a kiss.
No, it's not. But I mean, just that end scene when she opens the door and he's there leaning against it. I mean, they didn't kiss, but you know what? It was implied. I got it. That I have no rage over that at all.
Fair enough.
But the one regarding the shipper moments and the shippy nature of the season, I have also identified as a shipper. I'm not ashamed of that at all. But I found it interesting that the Rains, or, you know, I made the joke on social media that, you know, why did Skinner have to drive? Because Scully's little feet wouldn't reach the pedals. But she was in the driver's seat the entire season, and really even last, I suppose, as far as the relationship status was and where it went. It was as if Mulder was leaving that to her. He was there. He's waiting for her. I'm not going anywhere. This is for you to make that decision. And I kind of enjoyed the fact that it was left to her. So even, you know, the non-platonic activity, she initiated that. Most of the relationship stuff, she was left to initiate or, you know, be in the driver's seat of that. And I did like that part of it.
Yeah, I like that a lot too.
And in terms of the non-platonic activity, there was two instances of it, weren't there, we think. So
it sure seemed.
One to conceive a child, and then one more time just for them, I guess. Chris got his head.
And that it does irk me just a little bit, just to throw that in, that we were all so excited for the non-platonic activity in Plus One, but then at the end of the season, I looked back on it and I thought, did that just serve the purpose of getting Scully pregnant again? In which case, it's not nearly as exciting then. It's just kind of like, yeah, we just had to do it to kind of get to the pregnancy thing. So, you know,
but that also makes the pregnancy thing that much more annoying because, okay, we're led to believe that after the initial ending of the series, in the truth, they were together until I Want to Believe. And in I Want to Believe, they were still together. They were living in the Unremarkable House. So between 2002 and 2008,
yeah,
no non-platonic activity took place that couldn't have resulted in a child.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow,
yep,
Mulder is, I haven't looked, what, 57?
Yeah, I think so.
Scully is 53, 54. Baron, as far as we know, somehow now there's the second yeah. miracle child. We'll go back to the shippy, happy place. I'm fine with
yeah.
that. But it just...
yeah, we're My Struggle 4 is threatening to derail us again, isn't it?
Yeah, I just have to come to bring it back for you. I think one thing to mention about season 11, what I really enjoyed as well as the themes, there's also these little Easter eggs of things like the Spotlitz sanitarium and, you know, the headstones and things like that. And it felt like they were wrapping up over the course of the season for quite a bit of it. So like finding out Deep Throat's name and things like that. So I did appreciate that they were also including those little Easter eggs for the fans as well throughout the season. So I thought it was good as well.
One thing that I noticed after rewatching this after Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, rewatched that's just Darren Morgan insanity and just a riot and a load of fun. But after seeing that one and then going back and rewatching this, noticing that in one of Skinner's digitized X files that Reggie's picture is there,
yeah,
I was like, cool.
They should do more of that stuff, and even down to stuff like having Tad O'Malley on the radio in the beginning of Nothing Lasts Forever is kind of a clever way to kind of drop that in just before the final episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, then. So, favorite episode. I mean, I think this is a tough question because there was a lot of good stuff, I think, and a lot of it I find quite hard to kind of rank. Kurt, I'm going to let you kick this one off. So, favourite episode and why?
Favourite episode and why? Being a huge Darren Morgan fan, it has to be Lost Art of Forehead Sweat. I think it is very similar to Jose Chung's From Outer Space and Doomsday Defense. It's got that feel to it. I love the social commentary aspects of the episode as well. And it was just a riot from start to finish. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was... it had its moments of being able to close out the show the way that I would want it closed out as well, especially the end scene. It just was a good, fun, instantly rewatchable episode, and I just loved everything about it.
I can imagine this one cropping up on a lot of people's like favourite lists in years to come. Michelle, will it be on yours? Is The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat your favourite episode from season 11, or is it something else?
I don't know that I would call it my favorite. It's really a difficult question because so many of them were enjoyable and left you thinking afterwards. Followers was one that was just like, at the time watching it, I thought, what is this? What? But it stuck in my head and I rewatched it several times. So that was a really enjoyable episode. I think I might have to say Plus One. But not for the shippy part of it, for Karen Connival.
Mm. Mm.
She was amazing. She blew me away. I think that may be one of my favorites. Just because, once again, the secondary characters, the quote-unquote monsters, that was a very memorable one. And... as far as Chucky goes, it's too bad they killed off the lone gunman, because I would like to see who could be creepier towards Scully, Frohickey or Chucky.
Yeah.
That was just a really great episode. So I think I might say Plus One, but it's really, I mean, between those, it's just a fine line. There were really, really great episodes. I mean, even familiar with our friend Mr. Chuckle Nope. had to get it in there, Kurt. Just who will forget that theme song, that creepy head peeking around the tree? I mean, maybe horrifying, but you won't forget it. So there was so much good stuff, but I'll just stick with Plus One.
I mean, if we're talking about the standalones, like even something like Kitten, which a lot of people put that at the bottom of their list of the standalones, but in earlier seasons, if you said that would be the worst episode, you know, it's still pretty good, isn't it, really? So, I mean, there was a really high standard, generally speaking, I thought. So, Jen, what do you reckon? What would be your favourite?
This is fun because we've all three picked different episodes. I picked this as my favourite episode. It just, for me, combines sort of everything that I love about an X-Files episode. It had suspense and kind of a sense of danger, but there was some nice moments of humor and, you know, some good sort of emotional stuff with Langley. His sort of story was almost, you know, it was a little sad. And Mulder and Scully are together through the entire episode, which is always a wonderful thing when it happens. And they're like totally in sync through the whole episode, like even right down to when they're handcuffed together and like acting as one person. So I loved that aspect of it. Got some Skinner scenes. Barbara Hershey actually got a half decent scene, and it turned out to be the only one of the series for her. You know, fast paced, you know, the sort of the callbacks to Deep Throat and things like that. So I liked it a lot. When I watched it the first time, I thought, well, maybe I just like it this much because last week was my struggle three and I'm just relieved. but no, it's one of those episodes that I can sort of rewatch again and again. But I mean, it was hard for me to pick a favorite when I ranked all the episodes sort of out of 10 for myself. There were three that came in at a 9 out of 10, and this being one of them, Lost Art of Forehead Sweat being the other, and Ghoulie being the other. So it was really hard for me to choose between those three. But yeah, they're all great episodes for the most part, with the exception of the bookends.
It's really funny you say that, because we've been like ranking the season on Facebook and stuff quite a bit, and like I think when I did it immediately after the season, I think I put this as my number one. And then I think I did it a few days later, and I switched stuff around. I put Ghoulie at number one then. But I've thought about it a bit more, and the episode I keep coming back to in my mind, and I'm really looking forward to rewatching them all when the DVD comes out, but it is The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, I think. I just thought it was so like touching and funny, and you know, it had a lot to say. There were some great like moments that you just could have never have predicted in a million years. You know, at the time I was not underwhelmed, but I didn't quite go as crazy about it as a lot of people did. But at this moment, I'm going to pick The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat as my favourite, I think. And my favourite moment also comes from that episode, which is the moment when we see young Fox Mulder with David Duchovny's adult head. And I don't know what it is about it, but that feels, I don't know, I think I must have been born middle-aged or something, because I feel that's very relatable as well. When you sort of think back to your childhood, you sort of imagine your sort of your sensibilities as they are now, I think. And I just love that moment. I thought it was a stroke of genius. So favourite individual moment, it can be Shippy, it can be an exploding head, it can be Mr. Chuckleteeth, it can be anything. So Jen, what's your favourite moment from season 11?
Well, you know, for me, it's going to be a bit Shippy. I don't know how long a moment's allowed to be, but I'll start by saying the final scene in Nothing Lasts Forever, the conversation in the church between Mulder and Scully. The writing, the acting, the setting, the music, it's all just perfect for me. I think Karen Nielsen wrote such a beautiful scene, and I'm so glad we got that in that episode, because we didn't get anything like it in the finale, that's for sure. So that kind of held me through. If I had to kind of narrow down to one moment in that scene, I would pick the moment when Mulder says to Scully, "I may not believe in God, but I believe in you." And I think that just sums up their relationship, that each has a faith that the other doesn't share, but they believe in each other. So we could easily have heard Scully say many times, "I may not believe in UFOs, but I believe in you." And that's always been kind of the basis of their relationship. And it's kind of nice to hear Mulder articulating the same thing. So I loved that line. I loved most of the lines in it. I loved the way they were so open and direct with one another for like the first time properly. And so I loved it. And I was not upset with the fact that they didn't kiss in that case, even though the previews implied that they were going to. I know a lot of people got upset about that, but I blame the preview people, not the X-Files. I was just wrong with the fact that it was just a whisper instead. So loved, loved, loved everything about that scene.
Yeah, that was a beautiful scene, I thought. And I really liked the other one too, that comes earlier in the episode, you know, where Mulder's waiting for her. And he's sat in the pew. That was great too.
So sweet, he waits.
Yeah, it was really delicately done, wasn't it? It was really good.
So beautiful.
Totally. And Michelle, what's your choice for favorite moment of the season?
Yeah, it's also difficult for me to narrow this down. I really enjoyed, just because, you know, smartass Mulder, I guess, in the episode this, when Scully asks, "How do you work so well with your hands cuffed behind your back?" And his response is, "Like you didn't know." And the look on her face too, it was great. But another moment that really sticks out is in Followers. Other than the fact that I was completely weirded out by an entirely empty sushi restaurant. If you're in a sushi restaurant and there's nobody else eating there, I'm going to worry. But, just when the blobfish made its appearance.
Yeah.
And Scully just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. And just this, that she's taking a picture of him next to the blobfish. And just the out and out joy that was presented by two people out on a date, out for dinner, just enjoying themselves. And I mean, how many times have we actually seen or heard Scully laugh? In 25 years, not very many. So that really stuck out for me. So I enjoyed that.
And I also like the delayed payoff there of, like, she turns up at the date with a new haircut, and then you get, in Nothing Lasts Forever, you get the scene with Mulder trying on the glasses, don't you? Where he sort of notices it. That was really funny too.
That almost made my best moment, actually. Just that moment where he says, "Did you get a haircut?" Because it was just so perfect the way she delivered her line. So, are you kidding me?
It was the pause, I think. The pause kind of really sold it.
The timing is perfect.
Kurt, so which Shippy moment is... No, or which moment, sorry, is your favourite of season 11?
I don't think I've got any Shippy moments. I think, as everyone said, it's so hard to narrow it down. There's episodes where I've enjoyed, and there's been moments in it where it's been fantastic, like when Mulder's doing the Hannibal impression and... this, or even in the same episode where they're waiting for the lift and he points to the door and he doesn't say anything. It's just one quiet moment, which I think is absolutely hilarious. But I do have to go back to Forehead Sweat, and it's the line, it's time to face the fact, guys, this is the end of the X-Files, but maybe the point wasn't to find the truth, but to find each other. And I think you can take that in so many different ways, whether or not it's finding people online, finding people that have come along on the show with you, and, you know, or the entire 25-year history that we've all gone through together. And also a little nod to Darren Morgan basically saying his farewells to it as well. It just gave me such a nice warm feeling inside, and it was really nice. Plus, on top of that, one of my favourite scenes in the entire run, and it's a strange one, but it's just the scene. It's when Scully finds the faith to do the operation on the boy at the end of I Want to Believe, and Home Again, the music's playing in the background. It's the same music as well. So that combined with the two, it's just that nice feeling, this nice sort of callback, and also like a little nod to the fans and a little nod to Darren himself, saying, you know, that basically thanks very much for all the efforts that you've put in and for watching the show. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really did too. And another like musical moment I'd chip in is I really like the use of California Sun by the Ramones in this. I really like that teaser in this.
Yeah, that action sequence. I'm not usually a huge fan of kind of bringing in pop songs on The X-Files. I don't think it always works, but man, did it ever work in that scene. I love that scene.
I think final order of business for today is about the future. So as of the time of recording, we're kind of in a weird like limbo state, I suppose. It sort of feels like the end, but there hasn't really been an official announcement or anything. So I don't know exactly how you're all taking it, but I mean, do you want more? Do you want a season 12? Do you want, like, a spin-off of some kind? Or are you happy for this, you know, to be the end? I think everyone here might have a different sort of take on this. Kurt, do you want to come back in?
Yeah, I think if there were to return, I think I would definitely watch it. I think I said in the roundtable last time, you know, like a two-hour finale to finish it all off. I don't think we really need to go down that route now. The mythology is all kind of closed up and done with. So we're at a moment now, really, where, you know, we've got like an end point. So, and the season was so good that I think naturally it would be good to do that. There is, obviously, Morgan Wong have put this, like, the mythology has turned into like the X-Men. It's the X-Men's kind of been born out of this mythology aspect of it, but it would be a very, very different show if they did go down that route, and it would kind of be jumping with the times. So I'm not too sure if something like that came out, like an X-Files version of the X-Men, or, you know, like a Legion or something like that, whether or not it would stand out enough. And it would probably go the way of what the likes of Lone Gunman did, maybe like 10, 13 episodes and get cancelled. So I think at this moment in time, the way I'm feeling about it, I think it's probably best to let it lie down for at least for a while anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And like we should mention, there's some other factors like going on, isn't there? Obviously, Gillian Anderson doesn't want to play Scully again. So if the series came back, it would be without her, certainly, it seems. And the ratings, like the US TV ratings for season 11, weren't anywhere near as good as they were for season 10, were they? So there's all sorts of, you know, factors here. Michelle, what do you reckon? Are you kind of happy with season 11 being the end, or do you crave a season 12?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to go as far as saying if they did a season 12, I wouldn't get sucked in and watch. I probably would. I watched season 9. So I stuck with it through that. Honestly, I mean, as I said on our previous roundtable, it pains me to say it, but it needs to end. And if the thought of a season 12 without Scully, who I've said in the past, Scully is most definitely my favorite character of the series, it doesn't feel right, just like it didn't feel right without Mulder in season 9. Well, really most of 8 and all of 9. If they were going to do it, I think that it would need to be without Mulder and Scully. Maybe, you know, not Miller and Einstein either. But it would have to be
like a new start sort of thing.
Exactly. You know, somebody else picking up those reins and acknowledging the existence of the X-Files in the past, but new. And I think there needs to be some distance. I don't think that you can do that a year and a half from now. I think if they're going to bring it back, it needs to be, you know, the X-Files, the Next Generation, to mash up nerddom, but to have it just you know, some distance there.
There needs to be some breathing space, isn't there? I think so too, that you couldn't just like immediately put this into production and expect people to get on board with it.
Right, and I don't think you can do it with, for lack of a better term, I guess, the cloud of Mulder and Scully over it.
Yeah.
Because just like they never really gave Reyes and Doggett a chance to see what the X-Files would be with them, because it was always Mulder there in the background and Scully sort of in the background, sort of in the foreground, all on the hunt for Mulder or pining for Mulder or, you know, my baby, as we've already gone through. I think it would have to be a complete, you know, reboot, I guess isn't necessarily the right word, but, you know, starting over.
Yeah, because, like, two of the ways you could do it is, like you say, leave a bit of time, have, like, a new start in the same world. Like, all the Mulder and Scully stories happened, but now something new is starting. Or you never know, one day there could be, like, a proper reboot where we get, like, a recast Mulder and Scully, you know, and then it properly would be starting from scratch, wouldn't it?
My husband has made the comment, and I find it interesting, that one thing that they haven't really brought into this season with as, you know, I guess topical as it's been regarding the administration and, you know, politicalness right now. One thing that they didn't bring up much of was like the Snowden leaks and that kind of thing. And my husband said that he thought it would be kind of interesting should the X-Files be uncovered by a hacker kind of vigilante group, so kind of a lone gunman 2.0, and have the X-Files investigated by this type of group with, you know, maybe some assistance from, you know, official channels, and that could be an interesting spin on it. But once again, I just think there needs to be distance.
Okay, so well, how do you see this, Jen? Do you agree with what Michelle and Kurt have said, or are you coming at things differently?
I do agree with them. I kind of like Michelle's husband's idea. That sounds kind of cool and interesting. I hadn't thought of anything like that. I probably am a little bit more extreme in the sense that if I was in charge, which I'm not, but if I was, well, a lot of things would be different. But one would be that it wouldn't come back at all in any form. Not a reboot, not a spinoff. The only spinoff I would watch would be a Skinner spinoff, and I guess we'd have to make sure he gets out from under that car first. But other than that, no, I'd rather it just, even if Gillian Anderson was willing to come back, I feel like, I mean, it's been 25 years. It's got to end sometime, and I'd rather it end on the high note that was season 11 for the most part. And if they, you know, if they bring out back some kind of weird variation of the X-Files, I will probably feel compelled to watch, and I just don't really want to in reality. So I'd rather just not even have that on my radar. I've got my 218 episodes and my two movies. That's good enough for me, and let's just leave it at that. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm kind of happy if it's the end, but, you know, if some kind of announcement comes and it's coming back in some way, shape, or form, you know, I'm sure I'll get back into it. So let's wait and see, I suppose. All right, then. So let's leave it there for today. I think all of you are on Twitter, aren't you? So perhaps we can just figure out where we can all find you. So Kurt, where can we find you on Twitter? And you're doing some interesting stuff about the X-Files on Twitter. I don't know if you're winding that down or not, though. The five tweets of X, what's the status there?
The current status at the moment, I'm going to be taking a break after this week. I'm doing season 11, just an overall 5-week thing. I'm considering maybe doing a rewatch with some variation of it, but I haven't quite decided that yet, and I've got some other ideas that I'm thinking about doing. But I'm going to keep doing the X-Paul night every Wednesday night for a few weeks. So I'll definitely be doing that for the next few weeks anyway. So that'll be something to catch up on. And hopefully I'll be getting my blog back up and starting to just do some general reviews of my rewatches if I'm going to do that, and then take it from there. I'm hoping to do a Millennium rewatch as well at some point, so that should be good. Yeah.
Cool. And what's the Twitter handle, sorry?
It's Reynard Muldrake, and it's at @RMULDRAKE.
Perfect. And Michelle, how about you? I mean, you're on Twitter quite a bit, I suppose. Where do we find you there?
I am on Twitter at MMBaker13, And I still mostly lurk, but I'm trying to get better with actually tweeting. So if anybody wants to engage with me in non-rage-filled My Struggle 4 comments, I am game.
Excellent stuff. And Jen, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. My handle is JenXFile, spelled JenXFile. It was meant to be a secondary Twitter account for me. I started it in February as my X-Files only account, so it's all X-Files all the time. But honestly, I have so neglected my quote-unquote main Twitter account now that this is pretty much all I'm now doing on Twitter is X-Files related, so I fully intend to keep tweeting about the X-Files until they take my smartphone from me. So I'm still to be found there and still tweeting about the X-Files at every opportunity.
Perfect. And let me just say thanks to all of you. It's been a real blast tonight. So hopefully we'll all get to chat again sometime soon. But yeah, it's been good.
Okay, thank you, Carl.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. And yeah, in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter as well at @X_cast. If you're on Facebook, you can join us there at X-Files Basement, the X-Cast podcast fan group. If you would also like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/thexcast. And just check out what we're offering to subscribers there. That's it for this patron roundtable, but until next time, trust no one.
The X-Cast and X-Files podcast is produced and presented by Tony Black, alongside a dedicated group of podcasters and X-Files fans. You can find us on Twitter at The X-Cast, and on Facebook if you type in The X-Cast, or at our group, X-Files Basement, an X-Cast podcast fan group, where you can continue the discussion about all things Mulder and Scully. If you want to support the X-Cast further, you can now subscribe and become a patron of the show on Patreon. On Google, just type patreon.com/thexcast. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. You'll see all of our tiers, subscription options and perks, which include early access to episodes, bonus content such as commentaries on X-Files episodes, access to a patron chat zone, and even appearing on one of our patron roundtable discussions. We would appreciate any support you can give the show, so just go to patreon.com/thexcast to find out more. Our title music is provided courtesy of Will A, who you can find on Twitter at @IAmWillAYE.